Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Law.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast Lucky Number 7. This is Michael Law.
Hey, I'm Ricky Inger.
And it's Mike Calvo, and we're having a blast here at ATI in sunny Orlando. Well, rainy, sunny, welcome. And we're just having a blast here. We've got a whole group of people, as you can hear. We're not in our usual sterile environments today.
No latency. We can truly interact here.
Yeah, exactly. So we can stumble all over each other.
That's right, without issue.
Yes.
So, and we're sitting in a great Italian restaurant in Hunters Creek, Orlando, at Nono's. And it is just awesome. We've got a bunch of other people here. We've got Raymond and his wife Donna from Serotech way down there. Raymond.
Yes.
There he is. Say hi.
Hello,
all. Hello, Serotalk.
And then we've got his wife Donna. Donna, say hello.
You got the menu ready.
And we got Janelle over there from our marketing group.
Yeah, she's totally awesome. Get that public relations.
Yeah.
Shout out to the world, Janelle.
Yeah. And then we have at this local table to my left, I have my lovely wife Alina. Say hello, Alina.
Hello.
Hi, Alina. Truly the better half of the Cowboys family.
Absolutely, no question.
No one disputes that fact.
And then over to her left, in no relation in look, sound, or pocketbook, we have my partner, Michael Fox.
And I think it's safe to say, I think I can say this without dispute, that probably if we're not for the efforts of Michael Fox over the last 7 years, it's very possible Serotalk would not be here today.
That's, I mean,
Michael,
he's got his knight in shining armor suit on tonight. You're going to say hi to the people or what, dude? Come on.
I'm so awestruck with the compliments.
Let's not be anti.
Yeah, but because he's paying the bill.
He's paying the bill, so...
We know where our bread's buttered, right? So, and then
to my right here,
and we got the mystery guest, but we would say guess this voice, but he's a loud voice to those around him, but a very loud voice to everybody else. But we just like to call him Dan from Microsoft.
You saying I talk too much?
I didn't say that.
All right,
you said that, but notice we're not disagreeing. No, I'm kidding. Actually, that's Dan from Microsoft, and welcome to dinner with us tonight.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for joining us tonight, Dan.
Oh,
we really appreciate
it. When I found out Michael
Dan,
was...
Dan, Microsoft!
Yeah. All right, you can applaud.
I feel like we should be singing happy birthday or something.
Happy
every
birthday.
Time people
happy
clap
birthday.
At the restaurant, you know, it's happy birthday.
Yeah, we could invite them all to come over here and do a little Microsoft dance.
Yeah, big sombrero and...
Somebody would have to be the descriptive commentator on that, though.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
Yeah, interesting.
So, Dan, what's going on in Microsoft these days with Windows 7 there? Are we hearing good reports?
You know, it's been fantastic, and you know, we've been demoing all week here at ATIA, and really, having a very favorable response. We've made some improvements to both our magnifier and our on-screen keyboard.
Yeah, but that's scaring the crap out of some of the IT companies.
Well, you know what? I've had some really good conversations this week, and to the credit of the folks that we work with, I mean, I think folks know at this point that Microsoft's not in the business of competing with the likes of companies like yours. We're really trying to create a solid foundation, not only from a technical standpoint, technical implementation, but we're trying to create a level of awareness out in the broader community, the broader world, that brings more interest in what assistive technology is providing to their customers and how we can impact the broader consumer electronics
market.
Well,
yeah, but I mean, it's just more evidence, of course, that what we consider to be, you know, specialty equipment right now is becoming more mainstream. I mean, listen, the horse and buggy was really feeling some pressure once Henry Ford drove that first Ford off the lot, you know, and the reality is that this industry is ready for some mainstream. So I think that I applaud, and we at Cerotech and at Cerotalk, of course, we applaud Microsoft's effort to mainstream what could be adaptive technology. I mean, listen, we understand that there's always going to be room, I think, for specialized adaptive technologies in their areas. But the more mainstream, the more ubiquitous accessibility can become, I think that everybody in the community, perhaps not business owners, but who base their business model on it, but definitely for a community, it's a better move.
No doubt. And if you think about what we're building into our products, I mean, these are assistive technology products that have existed for 15 years or more. And so it's not like we're out there trying to put everybody out of business by out-engineering and out-innovating anybody. It's really about how can we take the things that we've learned from the greatest research and development in technology today that's happening here in this AT community, and taking what has happened there, putting it into a baseline operating system, and really, and hopefully motivating companies like yourself and all the other vendors that are here at ATIA to go beyond that. What's the next thing? I mean, you can ship a product for a few years, but you know, some of these products, quite frankly, haven't changed for 15 years. And for us to take that, the strengths of those products, build them into something like Windows, is only a natural evolution over time. So,
it really is based on consumer demand, and you know, unfortunately, sometimes, as we've written about in many blog posts, I mean, the consumer isn't what motivates this market. It's really not what drives it. I mean, when I say the consumer, I mean its ultimate consumer. Of course, the agencies for many years have driven where a lot of companies have gone. Of course, companies like Cerotech, where we look at more along the lines of what the end consumer needs. The guy who's going to pay us $24.95 a month versus the person who can afford, you know, the organization that can afford to pay $900 for a screen reader.
Right.
I mean, we're really out there, and that's why we applaud what Microsoft is doing. Windows 7 is just showing so much promise compared to Vista in many respects. We just left visiting with you folks in November, and it was a great meeting, and we learned some wonderful things, and now I read the continuous reports about how wonderful the Windows 7 beta is going. Now Microsoft extended that beta out, so it's even longer now.
February 10th.
Yep, it's a wonderful thing. Millions of people, I'm sure, have downloaded it, and everywhere you turn, even the geeks, I mean, the people, the biggest naysayers before Windows 7, are really turning around, aren't they? They're really applauding this thing. We've run it on notebooks in-house. We've run it on netbooks. We've run it on powerful computers, slow computers. And it seems to be that Timex of operating systems that keeps on going, that, you know, Microsoft is back. You know?
We've had some really great feedback. And one of the things that I actually want to encourage folks that have decided to go out and download the beta is, within the windows of each of the panes, there's a send feedback link back to us. And I can tell you, I get weekly reports of the feedback that comes through that system related to any of our accessibility features and even our Windows customization features. And we've already made decisions in changes that we want to make for moving forward for the final release. So I really encourage people to not think that this is the final. Send us your feedback and make an impact on the product in its final form.
And all of the adaptive technologies, Cerotech, Windowize, JAWS, even HAL, I believe, they all work with Windows 7, because really Windows 7 is just what Vista should have been, in my humble opinion. And it really is a great operating system. I think everybody should try it, as I think as humble and as laid back as Microsoft's been. The product is probably one of the most complete betas we've ever seen come out of Microsoft, ever.
I would second that, and I've actually have been confident enough in it that I've upgraded all of the computers that I use on a day-to-day basis to Windows 7.
I think it's an awesome operating system, so do try it, and definitely stay tuned here. We're definitely, Dan, maybe we can have you on a Thursday night for one of our tech chats.
Yeah, absolutely. Just sign me up for some sort of a call, and I'll... I'm not going to fly all the way to Orlando for you, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you really mind getting out of that rainy, wet Washington to come out here into the sun and fun and, you know, wonderful time that is Mouseland? I mean, Orlando. but cool. Well, thank you, Dan, for coming and hanging out with us. And please feel free to just hang out and have a glass of wine. And we're going to have some dinner tonight. And, Michael, you did some great interviews, didn't you?
Yes, we have over 20 interviews, actually more than that, but 20 with vendors that were on the
floor exhibiting different products, everything from some new braille displays to some new impressive magnification technology to some new scanning and reading devices.
Sounds like you've got two podcasts worth, man.
Oh, I have a multitude. I have over 2 hours of very interesting content. And all of these will be posted at serotalk.com so the folks can listen to the items of interest and ignore those that they don't want to listen to. But a lot of good stuff.
And we find them right on the network as well. They're going to
and
be
almost,
the information center.
Not all, but almost all of the screen reading vendors dropped by GW Micro.
Almost.
Of course, Dolphin, yeah. There was
at least one missing.
Yeah.
One fish was in the house so far, Dolphin came.
Right, Dolphin and GW Micro dropped by. And
see, that's what we call co-opetition, dude. That's companies that are playing to win, but really they're not concerned about, you know, lifting each other up and just sharing a great time and sharing a great conversation about what they do. Hats off to any of our competitors that came to participate. We love you guys, man, and it's we're all playing to win, and it's cool.
All of the different vendors respect and understand that our mission here was to present as much information as possible so that people can make informed decisions about which access technology or technologies is best for their needs.
So let's get on to those interviews, man.
Live from ATIA, this is Michael Loff, and I'm honored to be standing beside the infamous Larry Skudkon from the American Printing House for the Blind and Blind Cool Tech, something most of us use. Thanks for joining us, Larry.
Thank you.
I love your podcast with the dog and listening to the different sound recorders and just a lot of cool stuff that you have done yourself and made available from others.
Yeah, love doing it. It's a barrel of fun every day. We've actually got some pretty exciting new products coming out. One of them is it's called Refresha Braille 18. I'll put it in your hands there if you want to see it.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, sweet. 18 cells.
Yeah, it's actually a Braille display and a Braille keyboard built into one, and it's Bluetooth or USB, but primarily, you know, this thing can be used with JAWS or Window Eyes, but also with your cell phone, and we specifically designed it to go with the Braille Plus mobile manager and the icon, of course, and you can see that it's pretty much the same size.
I was trying to
shape.
Get the power up. Is it the...
There's a button in the front there. Front
left, right?
Right in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Middle one. I will hit that. Okay. Very good. There we go. Nice.
Yeah, so Baum builds that for us.
Help if I turn it the right way.
You can actually reverse it.
Oh, okay.
You can flip it around.
So it loads and says refreshable Braille or refresh...
Refresha Braille,
Braille 18. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And so we just come out with that, and it's really inexpensive. It's only $1,695.
Nice. Now, that work with cell phones? What kind of drivers?
Yeah.
How does that work? Is that USB driven?
Bluetooth
wireless. Oh, nice.
Yeah, we were just talking about your netbook here. This would be a great accessory for that kind of, you know, if you do have Bluetooth built into it especially.
It'd be great because for remembering the people's names as I start to interview them here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I am amazed at how useful. I mean, those of us that have had Braille displays know how nice it is to, you know, be able to do that while you're talking or in a meeting or whatever. But we've also come out with a couple other things that are really new. One is the docking station for the Braille Plus, which if you're familiar with the Braille Plus, it's, you know, about the size of this device I just handed you, and it's really a whole computer running Linux, but we've written our own custom interface to all the software on it. So you've got some really neat things like Twitter support, a custom Twitter application, internet radio tuner, some new things we've added.
And Shoutcast with thousands of stations?
Thousands, yep. It's using Shoutcast as its server, exactly. So are you guys broadcasting on Shoutcast?
Yes, we are. Well, so then, people can find... How would they find SamNet Radio? Do they just search for it? Or?
Well, you could do that. Probably be the easiest way. But if you know what genre it's in, which would probably be talk, I would imagine.
Well, we call it rock because it's music of the last 40 years.
Okay.
And we will do more talk, and I will cross... Of course, you can link in as many as you like.
Yeah. So, yeah. So the... And it's kind of cool, it's really cool because especially combined with the refreshable Braille display, that and the whole music player itself You know, it automatically puts up the station name and what's playing on the station right on the Braille display.
Can users get that now, or is that forthcoming?
That'll be available next week, actually.
Awesome.
And it's a free update if you've had your device for less than a year, and then we've got, you know, the $75 software maintenance agreement yearly thing to get all the updates. And one of the other new things with the 2.0 software is... As you probably know, Bookshare.org has changed everything.
So right, they went to the standard Windows zip decompression instead of the...
That, plus they've got a web, an official web application programming interface, API. So instead of us having to do it the non-official way, everything's official, so it should never break again. And it gives you some nice new things, like the ability to see the name of the author as you're looking at the new books and things like that. So very excited about that. And we've got pages and pages of new features and new things that it'll do. So it really rocks. And one of the coolest things that it does with the support for the refreshable Braille displays is you can put Braille Plus into a KeyLearn mode now and walk up to it with your display, you know, have it connect to your display and press the keys on your refreshable Braille display and discover what they are. So, like, if you want to, you know, if you get one that's new to you and you don't know what all the buttons are, you can press it, it'll say Advanced Bar, Cursor Routing Button 14. So it's really, I think we're the only guys that do that now.
Now, do you have NLS support on the Braille Plus?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Audible?
Yes.
So you've got all the readers taken care of, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, the Braille Plus is supposed to be everything in one. I mean, that was its whole concept, and I think we've done a pretty good job of doing that. There's a nice... podcast client in there, so you can subscribe to your podcasts and
like sarotalk.com/feed, and they'll just come down.
Thank
or
you.
Blind
you know
cool
what?
Tech.
We'll add that as one of
oh,
the defaults.
Oh, appreciate that.
We
awesome.
Do put Blind Cool Tech in there as a default, so you don't have to know about it before you get one. You know.
Well, there you go. We're gonna feed it to you, folks.
Sarotech.com/feed.
Sarotalk. Sarotalk.com/feed. Yep.
All right. We'll yeah, we can do that.
Awesome.
And it's pretty cool too, because when you're looking through your list of new podcasts and you go to play it, the device remembers where you were in each one. So anytime you open a new audio file, you just go back right to where you were. It's really easy to get back to the beginning if that's not where you wanted to be.
I've been playing with yours, right? Studio Recorder?
Absolutely.
Nice little application.
I think it's one of the best.
Built-in audio scrubbing. I don't know... on the musical editing side, but for someone else like myself doing talk shows, this is looking very interesting. Playing with the demo here, and it's looking really nice.
Have you checked out the fade controls and the mixing? Those were just added here about a year ago or so.
I haven't
really
played with
nice.
That part of it yet. Normally, just my interviews, I snip out the places where I stutter or...
well,
but
now,
I will play with that.
Yeah, now you can...
We can raise the
volume. Yep, you can do that, normalize it. Very, very nice piece of software. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but that thing is, bar none, commercial products included, nothing is faster. I mean, any kind of editing you do, no matter how big the file is, instantaneous.
And it's cool because what it does, and I don't know, maybe it'll geeky for some, but if you load an MP3, it actually loads it as a wave, which means it's going to ensure that you do good edits.
Yeah.
And then when you're done, you do file FE or whatever and save it as an MP3.
Yep.
And it works very, very nice.
Yep. And, you know, you can, if you just want to listen to the MP3, you can set it so that it...
Oh, and I love to juice, like, the tempo or the pitch of songs, and I can do that with this program. This is just right up my alley. So if you're looking for a good audio recorder and player, definitely take a look at Studio Recorder. It's not cheap. It's a professional... product, but I mean, if you're serious about audio editing and manipulation, it's an awesome tool.
In fact, if you've listened to any of the new digital talking books recorded at APH, they're all using Studio Recorder as their software to do the recording and editing there.
The other cool thing is that audible tone. It lets me know my modulation's too hot. That is sweet.
And you can check your peak levels. And in fact, I don't know if you've discovered this or not yet, but as you're recording, you can just press S and get your peak meters.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
wow.
Left and right, or one if you're just doing mono. But you can get a download, a demo of Studio Recorder at aph.org/tech, T-E-C-H.
And the documentation is great, too. It's
well,
everything is
you.
Very detailed. Did you write that?
I sure did.
Well, you did an excellent job.
Yeah, I love writing the manuals for them. That's how you shake a program out, is write the manual for it. You know what?
Very good. Why don't you give the contact information, of course, aph.org, but give a phone or an email address if someone has some questions.
Let's see. My email, well, probably technology at aph.org would be the best way to get questions in an easy way.
Okay.
800-223-1839.
39, that's your address, right?
That's
1839?
The same phone number.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. Larry,
right.
Thank you a lot for coming by.
Well, thank you. I sure enjoyed it.
Nice Braille display, folks, if you're in the market looking for something portable. Nice little 18-cell unit there.
It'll be available 1st of March.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. And as we stated, we invited everyone to come by for an interview, even those that some people may perceive as competitors. But awesome products and great work, hardware and software, over at gwmicro.com. And I have the W in GW here, Dan Weirich, with me this morning.
Yes,
thanks
hello.
For jumping by, Dan.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Okay, first, why don't you talk about what you offer at GW Micro, and then we'll talk about some of your major announcements, some of the new goodies you have coming out.
Sure. Well, a lot of people know us as the developers of WindowEyes, and so that's always been our top focus. WindowEyes 7 was released not long ago, and so we're pleased to show that here. There's been a lot of interest in WindowEyes at the show. And, of course, we sell the BrailleSense note takers. People know us about that. And the portable SenseView and SenseView Duo magnifiers. And so we've brought those and a few more goodies.
Okay, what are the special announcements and new products that you're announcing here?
Yeah, something, a new direction for us. We've had a lot of success with the magnifiers, the portable SenseView magnifiers. And so at this conference, we're showing for the first time the desktop SenseView magnifiers. So desktop CCTV systems, they're very high quality. They have some unique features. You have to go to our webpage to learn a little bit more about them. But they've been very successful from the manufacturer, from HIMS, in Korea. And we're pleased to offer those here and show them for the first time. And we're previewing a very new product. This is a prototype. We're not saying a lot about it, but it's a media player in order to carry around a portable device to listen to MP3, Daisy, Bookshare. And yes, NLS and RFBND support will be coming. This will plan to be shipping in May. That's the goal for right now, and it looks like we'll be on track for that. And it's very exciting for people to come up and see that for the very first time.
Okay, the two questions I want to ask you is, can you tell me what audio formats it'll support? I mean, for people who want to load their own music, like WMA, AUG, AAC, that kind of thing, and what's the price point? Do you know?
Yeah, all those, and yes, that's still under development, so I'm hesitant to say too much. We don't have a price, specific price yet. We don't have a name for it yet. It has a code name that we know it by. We're just kind of hinting and showing people what's available. If you know about the VoiceSense and BrailleSense media support, then this has that and more.
Okay, so this like voice-driven menus kind of thing? Or
yeah, you can. It has a keypad on the front. And one of the important features about it is you can control it from one hand. You don't have to hold it with one hand and push buttons with the second hand. You can hold it one hand. It's about the size of the candy bar type cell phones, mobile phones. And so you can easily control everything within one hand. There's two models. One has built-in storage space. So if, some customers are more technical than others, and some have no problem plugging in an SD card. On the other hand, there's some people who just don't want to mess with an SD card. So one of the models has built-in storage for it. It has a clock, so for date and time information, that's built into it, and some other things.
Okay, what can you tell us about the future of WindowEyes? What do you have in store?
Yeah, WindowEyes, we're always pushing. The most important thing with version 7, of course, has been the scripting support. Open language scripting. We think that's the better way to go. You don't have to learn our programming language with WindWise. You can use C++, you can use Visual Basic, you can VB scripts. It's very simple for the script writer. We even have a group of fraternity students who, as a service project, are writing scripts for WindWise, and they have no idea about the adaptive technology arena, and yet, because the open language scripting is so simple, that many college students, you know, computer science students, are able to create scripts. Script Central is also an integral part of the WindWise scripting. Script Central is our web page where people have uploaded scripts, script packages, and makes it very simple for us to distribute our scripts, and it just adds to the very rich features of WindWise to be able to control, work with an application. It's been just phenomenal of the interest that we've received because of these new features.
Anything else you want to mention here?
Gosh, we're at booths 507. If you're in Florida, please stop by. If you're listening on the internet, maybe next year. We'll be at CSUN in March. We'll be at ATIA in Chicago in the fall. And, of course, the summer shows, like many of the companies, were a lot of places in July. So come and see us. Come call us.
At the ACB NFB conventions. Do you
absolutely.
Do Site Village in the UK as well?
We do Site Village. We do, let's see, this isn't the year for AER, but we do that. We go to the AHEAD conference, which is for the post-secondary education group, the universities and colleges. And Blinded Veterans Conference, I think that's in August. And so we're many places. We'll be in Germany, in Frankfurt, in May. And so come out to see us. Visit our webpage, gwmicro.com. Give us a phone call, 260-489-3671. Again, my name's Dan Weirich, and give us a call.
Very good. What's the main email address folks should use?
You should email sales@gwmicro.com, and that will go to the right place.
Or existing users, what, support@gwmicro.com?
support@gwmicro.com and info@gwmicro.com. Those all work and go to the appropriate locations.
Very good. Very responsive company. We've always appreciated GW has been supportive of our efforts, even our first year when we started out with a table, nothing but a laptop on it. so we know what it's like to be, a growing company.
Yes.
But we appreciate your work. Dan, thanks a lot for dropping by. We wish you great success in 2009 and into the future.
Very welcome.
Live from ATIA, this is Michael Loff, and I am joined by Trey Lytle from Duratech. Is that the company name or the...
Yeah, that's actually the name of the product.
The product, right? D-U-R-A-T-E-Q is the spelling on that. What's your company name?
Company name is Softeq Development Corporation.
And that's S-O-F-T-E-Q, so we've got some unique spellings there.
Yes.
Okay, so talk about what you do. This is very unique, folks, and we're going to play you a demo after we discuss it.
Yeah, what we do is we make assistive technology for public venues, and public venues like Walt Disney World... the New England Patriots have a brand new hall at Patriot Place, and the museum at Coca-Cola, which is the World of Coke Museum in Atlanta, Georgia.
So this would be where people travel and they hear, that, which I used to do with little small little AM transmitters, where you travel around and hear different bits of historical information as you move from place to place, right?
Yeah, yeah. However, it's particular to the only at the venue. In the venues that I named, what they've done is they've invested in some technology that creates an infrared network that you hold our device, which is the Duratech ATV unit, and you walk around, and the Duratech plays content based on the location you are within their venue.
So is that done with GPS, or is it done with RF type of, how does it work?
It's Bluetooth, actually done with
infrared. Okay, very good.
And the device has enhanced infrared receptors on it that as it walks by a particular area, it's hit with a pulse that releases the content to be played for you.
So where's the content? Is the content in the device itself, or it transmits it from, they have some kind of storage, I guess.
Yeah, the content's actually on the device itself, Mike. You're right. So the content is pre-prepared.
Oh, I see. So right? They come and they get the device. Obviously, the content's already there. And then as they travel to the different places within, the relevant content is played, I guess.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Describe the unit that you brought here.
Okay, the unit is fairly small. It's probably about twice the size of maybe a standard cell phone, you know, right now. It's thin and light. It's about 8.9 ounces. And it's the size with a 3.5-inch screen on a PDA. On the device, Mike, is a software which we call Alice, which is the assisted listening and captioning engine. Because the device not only serves the blind community with descriptive narration and assistive listening, but it also serves the deaf community with handheld captioning, right? So there's actually a screen on it for handheld captioning as well.
Oh, very cool. Okay. Well, why don't you plug that into the device, and then I will plug the other end into my recorder here, and now Trey will give us a little demo of how it works.
Content from the world of Coca-Cola.
Portraits of people from around the world enjoying Coca-Cola beverages.
As you walk forward, away from the audio guide distribution desk, the right wall is mostly glass, stretching up to the high ceiling. It provides a view out to the park and the Georgia Aquarium. There are a set of double doors on the far side of the room. Through there is the next stop on our tour. The bathrooms are behind and to the right of the desk.
Welcome. The loft is a low-lit room covered in Coca-Cola signs and memorabilia from around the world, past to present. We're on a small landing that overlooks a gently winding ramp that doubles back on itself as it leads down to an open waiting area. The ramp begins a few feet directly in front of the door we just came through.
Welcome to Milestones of Refreshment. This is a trip through time from the invention of Coca-Cola to today. It's illustrated by an amazing collection of artifacts that we've collected from across the world. At each milestone, be sure to listen in on the short movies that tell the story of these artifacts.
This is the milestone for bottling, one of the most important developments in the history of Coca-Cola. We're in an odd-shaped room with lots of corners and curves. The floor is paved with cobblestones. On the right-hand side, there's an antique truck taking up most of the space. To your left, there's a small glass case. It contains an old typed document bearing two signatures at the bottom. This milestone is about Coca-Cola's groundbreaking reach to every corner of the world. The room you're standing in curves from left to right. The wall to the left features a case holding over 100 signs from all over the world. The signs advertise Coca-Cola products in at least 10 languages, including Dutch, Chinese, and Arabic. The advertisements show people from around the world enjoying Coca-Cola while having fun. Welcome to Bottle Works. You're entering a glass hallway that winds through the heart of a real working bottling operation. Gleaming silver machinery whirs all around you, even over your head. The whole room is one big, finely tuned machine.
Quick question for you. What do Andy Warhol and Santa Claus have in common? That's right, Coca-Cola.
When you walk through the pop culture gallery in a few moments, you'll find out about those connections and the many other ways artists around the world use Coca-Cola as a subject, a muse, and even a medium.
People can get the gist there of that. Any final comments?
Well, we're real excited about the ATIA convention because we're exposing more and more people to the technology. And we hope that more and more venues decide to invest in and provide these services for the blind community.
Okay, very good. How can people reach you if they would like to pursue this?
People can reach me at, I'll give you my email address. It's treylytle@duratech.com, and I'll spell that for you. It's Trey, T-R-E-Y, dot Lytle, L-I-T-E-L, at Duratech.com, DURATEQ.com.
Speaking now with Mark Mulcahy from Levelstar. Thanks for dropping by, Mark.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
And the icon, huh? That's your baby?
Yeah, indeed. Indeed it is.
So tell folks who've never heard of Levelstar what you do.
Well, Levelstar manufactures, three or four products now, I guess. The main things we do are we make the icon and the Braille Plus. The icon is the product that we sell. It's a PDA note-taker system. It's a combination and of a docking station, which is a full-size QWERTY keyboard with network connectivity, USB ports, extra battery life, and a smaller handheld device that you can stick in your pocket or your purse and take with you that has our hard drive built in, built-in wireless internet and Bluetooth, and then the kind of the kinds of applications you would expect to find in a device like this. Book reader that can play books from Bookshare.org and NLS, address book, calendar, email, web browser, and then some more unique things like an RSS reader and now in our new upcoming software release, a Twitter client. So,
you want to talk about that for our, because we do have many users of the Icon. Talk about what your next update's going to include.
Sure. So we make the Icon and the Braille Plus, and they're basically the same device. The Braille Plus is, the Icon essentially has a telephone-style keypad, and the Braille Plus adds a 6-dot Braille keyboard as well. And that product is available through American Printing House. So what we're showing at ATIA this week is a preview of our brand new software release, 2.0, which we expect to be releasing early next week. And the major thing we're showing is refreshable Braille support, which has been a long time in coming, and we're finally there, and it's been really exciting. And we support several Bluetooth and USB and, interestingly enough, serial displays. And as I mentioned, we have a few other things like Twitter support.
Now, you run on Linux, right?
Yeah, run on embedded Linux, right?
So does that mean all of the displays in the BRL TTY or most of that mechanism, or is it totally separate from that?
Correct, yeah. We're using Braille TTY. So anything supported by Braille TTY will work. And we've also added an internet radio tuner.
How's that going to work? We need to make sure we put SAMNET radio on.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to do that. It's actually using the Shoutcast technology, so anything that's posted up in the Shoutcast directory
and we are good.
Can be found and discovered and played and through the new radio tuner, and it has the ability to keep track of recent stations you played, as well as you can set presets and whatnot. So
is it just Shoutcast, or will it do Icecast or Windows Media?
It doesn't do Windows Media, but it does. I think Shoutcast and Icecast, I think both are supported. I think Icecast actually goes. I think Icecast ends up going back to Shoutcast. But anyway, yeah. So it's essentially going up to the Shoutcast API, and that's where we're getting all of our stations.
Oh, very good. So, well, tell people how they can get in touch with you. Get website, phone number, so they want to learn more about the Icon and Braille Plus.
Absolutely. Anybody who's here at ATIA this week can stop by booth 1100. Otherwise, feel free to give us a call toll-free at 1-800-315-2305. Or you can check out our website, www.levelstar.com. Or if you want more information, you can send email to either info or support@levelstar.com.
From ATIA, this is Michael Loff, and I'm joined now by Andre Hardy from Optilec. Andre, you got some rave reviews about two new products that you're showing here at ATIA, so I'll let you talk about those.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, we actually, this was the U.S. launch of two new products that Optilec have been in development for quite some time. We introduce here at ATIA the Optilec FarView. Now, the FarView, what's got everyone so excited, that the FarView combines the functionality of actually three devices into one. With the FarView, you can, as its name suggests, you can look at train times, read the menu at Starbucks, all from a distance. It also has the functionality of a near-viewing device, which is much like our Compact Plus. And then, thirdly, it also functions much like the Beerly or EVS Max, where you can look at live text on a computer monitor. So it's really, really slick.
Now, one of the gentlemen was excited that not only could you view something like that schedule, that he could take it to a restaurant, capture the menu, and then enlarge it.
Yeah, and not only that, with the FarView, you can capture an image, and then it has a device or feature that allows you to actually scroll. So one of the things we learned in our focus groups And Optu, like always, conducts focus groups before it even begins to develop a product, is that low vision users typically lose their place when reading on a portable device. Well, the FarView's really address that, because with the FarView, it has the ability for an auto scroll. So you always know where you're at, and you have the ability to return to the beginning of your document.
Now, how many can you store? So, say, if you're traveling around and just grabbing different brochures or documents, and then
100 images.
Oh, very good.
The FarView stores 100 images that actually can be downloaded into your PC.
Right. So then you can always proceed and grab more.
Yes.
You go.
Yes.
And then the other unit that's more stationary but also pretty powerful.
Yeah, we introduce the ClearView Plus Generation 2 today. Now, the ClearView Plus Generation 2 is Optilec's newest version of what has been the world's number one seller in desktop reading machines. The engine that drives the ClearView Plus is a Rheon chip, which really eliminates deinterlacing. It's a cleaner, crisper image, which allows for longer reading periods and less eye fatigue.
Yeah, that's what the gentleman mentioned, that just the quality of it stood out from all of the other products that he had looked at here at the expo.
Yeah, the hallmark of the Optilec brand has always been clean, crisp images. We've always stood out in that respect. Now the Rheon engine has taken that to another level. It's clearly, side by side, without a doubt, the cleanest, crispest image on the market.
So what are the prices for these units?
The FarView is $1,495, and the Optilec ClearView Plus comes in three different variations or screen sizes. You can buy a 22-inch, a 19-inch, and a 17-inch. The price on the 22-inch Optilec ClearView Plus is $3,095. The price for the 19-inch is $28.95, and the price for the 17-inch is $25.95.
Now, the FarView, what's the battery life on that?
The battery life on the FarView is about 3.5 hours.
That's not bad.
No, it's actually...
Considering what it's doing, actually.
Exactly. It's actually probably the longest battery life of any product in its class.
And then how long does that take to recharge that unit?
You can get a full charge in about 45 minutes.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Very good.
So, for those of you who are listening, if you're interested in any of the Optilec products, please give us a call at 800-426-4200.
Okay. Anything else you want to add? The website, of course, Optilec, and maybe spell that. Maybe
yes, it's www.optilec.com, and Optilec is spelled OPTELEC.
Live from ATIA, this is Michael Loff speaking with John Price from Perkins Products, makers of the infamous Perkins Brailer. Thanks for dropping by, John. You have some very exciting news, especially connoisseurs or aficionados of Braille, I'm sure, are going to want to hear about.
Sure. Well, I know the people are familiar with Perkins Products, formerly called HowPress, and we're a division of Perkins School for the Blind. We're located in Watertown, Massachusetts, which is part of right next to Boston. And I've been working for Perkins for about 5 years and representing the Perkins Brailler. And people have been asking us for a long time, when are you going to make it lighter? And when are you going to make it in some fun colors? So we've been working on it.
I never even thought about colors.
Yeah. We've been working on it for a while, and I have brought a next-generation Perkins Brailler to demonstrate here at ATIA.
So describe this, the dimensions of it. And
sure. The next-generation Perkins Brailler, as compared to the Perkins Classic Brailler, it's a little smaller, and it is a little over half the weight. So if the Perkins Brailler is about 11 pounds, this is about 6.5 pounds.
So you got rid of the cast iron. What is this made of?
This is made of impact-resistant plastic, and it has metal parts and plastic parts to it. And as I said, it's a little bit smaller, so it accepts 8.5 by 11 paper or smaller. And there's a couple of features on it that are different from the Perkins Classic Brailer.
Okay, elaborate on that.
Sure. The Perkins Classic Brailer has a handle on the top of the machine. This has a handle underneath the keys, so it's actually built in. Where the skirt is on the Perkins Classic Brailer, that's where the handle is on the next generation Perkins Brailer. So you just reach under to the keys, pick it up, and it fits really nicely right next to your leg when you're carrying it around. It's also a little easier.
Well, I can't tell you how many people I upset by whacking them in the knees with the old classic. So yeah, I can see the logic of that design.
It gets people's attention, though.
Yes.
But so it's a little easier to carry. It's lighter, and it takes up a little less space on a desk. There's also a paper table so that it flips up from the back of the machine and supports the braille paper as it begins to come out. So as you're brailing, you can read what you're brailing.
Maybe eliminate some of those paper jams, the paper going down the back or up against something on your desk. Or
that's a good point. Teachers tell us that it helps the students kind of guide the paper into the machine.
Ah, yeah. Right, because easy, you have to do it a few times before you get the knack of not going in crooked and so forth. So,
and another thing that I've had a lot of teachers ask me is, when are you guys going to make it so that there's an eraser on the machine?
Ah.
And the next generation Perkins Brailer has an eraser built next to the braille head.
Well, how does that work?
So if I'm brailing along and I braille something that I don't like, and I just need to backspace twice, and then right over the paper where it brails is a little oblong key, and you just push that down a couple times, it gets rid of the braille. It's pushing it from the top and the bottom. So teachers
nice.
seem to think it's better than the fingernail.
Oh, you can't tell how many things I fixed with the fingernail
you
today.
You can still use your fingernail. That's all right. But there is an eraser function on this machine.
Evolution. 21st century, folks.
Another thing is the margin guides are on the back of the Perkins Classic Brailer. In the Perkins Next Generation, we move those to the front of the machine. So it makes a little more sense.
What about the noise factor?
The noise factor at the Perkins Classic Brailer is, brailing in general, when you're putting a piece of braille on a piece of paper, it's a little bit loud. This machine is a little quieter, though, than the Perkins Classic Brailer. The next generation is quieter than the Perkins Classic Brailer, and it's also takes a little less finger pressure. Now, there are some students that have very weak finger strength, or some adults that have weak fingers, and we have a Perkins Electric Brailer that's more appropriate for folks like that, or someone who just brails all day long. And we are going to be introducing a next generation electric brailer that's still in the works, and that's something that's going to be coming down the line.
Yeah, I couldn't get the groove of the electric braille, but like you said, maybe people that some limited hand function, or just acclimation is something you get used to.
Yeah, for someone who's a really proficient brailer, the Perkins manual brailer is actually faster than the electric brailer.
Yeah. Well, what's the price? Is this available? Can we buy them now, or is it still prototype, or where are we?
It's available. It's the price is $650 to answer your first question, and they're available through American Printing House for the Blind. They're also on the quota system. Currently, we're making them as quick as we can, but I know that they're back ordered right now. And we should be able to help them work through the back orders by, hopefully, by the end of spring.
What about the case for it? I know they always tell us to put the little case over it to prolong the life, keep dirt.
Well, the way it was designed, it's designed so that it doesn't need a dust cover. We're still toying with the idea, but it's not as open to the elements as the Perkins Classic Brailer. So it's not designed to need a dust cover.
Oh, so you don't have the big opening at the top where you can reach your hand in there and fix the bell if it's broke? Or
yeah, or drop a handful of marbles in.
Yeah,
so it's a lot more...
Or candy.
It's a lot more enclosed.
I'd hate to think what all's been found inside those.
We have a board with a lot of things that are glued to it that have been rescued from Perkins Brailers over the years.
Oh, my. Well, how can folks check it out? What's the website and phone number if they want to order one?
Well, they can contact American Printing House for the Blind. If they want to take a look at the new machine, there's a really cool website set up, which is hard to remember. It's PerkinsBrailer.org.
That's a hard one, yeah.
And you can actually, there's a song about it called The Next Generation. And you might have heard the song, but you can download the song. Also, you can download ringtones based on the song from PerkinsBrailer.org. And if you need to give us a call to ask us any questions about it, our telephone number is 617-972-7308. And my name is John Price. I'll be happy to try to help you in person if there's anything we can do to explain it or answer any of your questions.
Well, it sounds awesome. I guess we'll get the back orders going even further. I'm sure many listeners will gravitate and check that out. Thanks for dropping by. John, we wish you great success with that. Right on. Let's keep Braille alive.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks. Speaking with the infamous Jim Fruchterman.
Thank you very much.
Many of you know him from Bookshare.org.
Great. Well, I was here at ATIA talking about a new concept we call Raising the Floor, and there's more on it at raisingthefloor.net. And the whole idea behind Raising the Floor is to lead a larger movement for web-based assistive technology. So we think that the future of assistive technology is mainly going to be on the web, and that delivering a lot more content and information to people via web tools and content is really going to make a lot more people have access to technology and content they don't have today.
That's right in line with not only Bookshare, but also what we do at Serotech.
Indeed.
Web-based information.
In fact, I was using the example of some of your products on memory sticks or SA2Go as examples of some of these new approaches that I think are going to, you know, hit the assistive technology industry. And our idea of Raising the Floor is not that we've completely invented a whole new area. There's a lot of people working on Raising the Floor, but it's important to actually name it and talk about it, because if you're in the regular tech industry, you realize that where people are going more and more is they're living in their web browser. You know, they're on Facebook all the time. They're in a messaging environment. And so we think that by doing many more things through the web, through open source technology, through different tools, we can deliver a lot of content. And of course, Bookshare is one great example of what we think Raising the Floor is going to mean across the entire assistive technology universe.
So is this strictly web-based portals for information, or is this working with access technology to make certain entities more accessible, or what are your efforts?
I think we're going in all of those directions. I think once you start building in, and now I'm going to talk tech for a while, you know, the web APIs that allow other people to access your content. We just launched a new version of Bookshare, and hopefully you'll hear more about that later. But it includes basically the ability for almost any developer in the IT industry to build a direct interface into Bookshare. So now suddenly Bookshare can be on a Braille note or a Braille display. Bookshare can be on a cell phone with a Code Factory's product. You know, if you're in another country and you want to use Bookshare as your back end, but you want to do it in your nation's language, you can do that. That's the whole idea of having this sort of flexibility. I mean, Bookshare is a great example of what being a web-based tool is all about. You know, you not only access content through the web, but you also access community. Bookshare has been built by blind people scanning for other blind people. More than 90% of the books on Bookshare are there because our volunteers scan them and put them there. And that's the power of the internet. It's not just content technology, it's also access to community.
And because of the demands or restrictions of the publishers, it could not be done without the web-based technology to encrypt and protect and make them comfortable that it's only getting into the hands of people who have the right to use it. So that's...
And there's a lot of transparency. Publishers can come to our website and see exactly what we're doing, right? And they can try to see if they can figure out how to get around our restrictions. And that's another great benefit of the web is that, you know, you have access to all the information. Anyone can go to Bookshare and see what books we have today. Anyone can try to sign up. It's that sort of, you know, and you can do that in, you know, 5 seconds from now if you wanted to get started with your web browser.
So are you looking at, like, technologies like ARIA or the just different Web 2.0 or Java or things that sometimes throw glitches? Or are you just really more of the same model that you built Bookshare on of deciding something that you want to do and then going about making it happen?
And the answer is both, all of the above. So people involved in Raising the Floor include the people behind Web ARIA, which is, you know, access to rich internet applications. people like Rich Schwertfeger of IBM is involved, Vint Cerf, the founder of the internet, and of course people at you know, many of the different high-tech companies, people who are doing open source development, a lot of the sort of academics that are in the field, because I think we all see this future coming and believe that if we get together and work on some shared components, then it'll make it easier for all AT vendors to use it. We want to make it easier for assistive technology vendors to spend more of their time innovating rather than spending their time sort of recreating the wheel. And you know, that's true across the entire tech industry. People figure out, hey, there's this common, you know, set of things that we don't need to recreate. We'll go off and we'll compete on that, which is, and you know, Apache, which is the number one, you know, web server, is a great example. The majority of, you know, the biggest web server on the internet is an open source project that people use to serve up, you know, their web pages. And when I want to create a website, I don't start over from scratch. I take advantage of this other stuff. So we will both build some of these tools, and groups like ours will, when we're building tools for our own uses, we'll make them open source so other people can share them. And we'll deliver services through the internet that people can use, like Bookshare, and like some of the things that we're talking about in terms of extending Bookshare into some cool new directions.
Okay, is this something end users can get involved with, or just more for people in the industry? How does that?
It's again for both. And you know, on our website, we talk about basically getting consumers involved. And you know, the consumers could be disabled people who want to work on, you know, technology and they have the technical capabilities, or people who are just good with using technology, want to help each other. I mean, and again, Bookshare is a great example. The number one tech support group, the number one volunteer advice group, are other users and other volunteers. I mean, when you're really in an online community, there are people who know the answer to these questions, and they'll get it to you faster than sometimes, you know, in many cases, our staff can. And so if we're really going to raise the floor, we're going to continue to depend on the community to make it happen, because, you know, we think that, let's say easily, 85% in the U.S. of the people who could use assistive technology don't have it. If you go to the developing world, 99% of the people don't have it. So how do we lower the barriers to getting them the access they need? And that means a more simple, basic level of access. And then, hey, if you can, you know, finish your education and get a job, you know, you might go out and buy that $400 toy that you've always wanted. And that's, we think we're actually going to grow the entire market for assistive technology by reaching out to the people who've been left out so far, because they don't have the economic power, they don't speak English, you know, whatever the issue is, we want to make it easier to solve their problem.
Is this a multi-platform solution, so it's not just Windows-based, like Linux and Macintosh, that thing as well?
Yeah, it's primarily web-based, so the idea is that it should work on multiple platforms.
Very good. We'll give the websites so folks can go and read more information and decide if it's something they want to pursue.
Yeah, so the website is raisingthefloor.net, and of course, benetech.org is my, you know, nonprofit organizations. We're the parent organization that runs Bookshare and a bunch of other technology projects for the social sector.
Very good, Jim. Thanks for dropping
thanks
by
a lot,
today.
Mike. Appreciate it.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
And as people can tell, we've had a great dinner, a few great glasses of wine, and my wife now wants an iPhone.
Yes, Mike doesn't know yet, but he's bought it for her, but he just doesn't know yet.
A message to Apple. It would be much easier if I could use an iPhone too, because then she could say, but honey, you have one, but I don't. So, I don't know.
iPhone, you phone.
Accessible iPhones for all.
That's right.
That's what you guys got to do. Send letters to info@apple.com. Say, blind people want iPhones.
And we want them now.
Now!
Now.
Now. Now, baby. You know what
Raymond.
I mean.
Did you eat a good dinner, Raymond?
I did. Thank you.
Donna, did you eat a good dinner?
Absolutely.
Janelle, did you eat a good dinner?
I did.
Dan from Microsoft, did you eat a good dinner?
Are you paying?
I am. Well, Michael's paying.
It was
paying.
Fantastic.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, somebody's paying. Actually, I think we're going to wash some dishes.
Thanks for your supper.
It's a great night for No-No's in Orlando from ATIA's.
Awesome restaurant. If you end up in Orlando, you've got to try No-No's. You've got to try.
Best tiramisu ever.
And you can go to no-nos.com. Alina, how do you...
What's U.S. No-nos.us.
Oh, I'm sorry. No-nos.us. So how do you... It's www. How do you spell no-nos?
N-O-N-O-S.
O-N-N-O-S.
.us. No.com. No.us. You heard it right here. First.
Everything is awesome. You can't go wrong whatever you choose.
Remember, 40% of what they really serve is on the menu. The rest, you just tell them what I want. Ricky and I had a great dinner. All these people ate regular people food.
Yeah.
We took advantage.
So you can get whatever you like.
Every all together, you can get whatever you like. All right, right here at Cerro Talk, and we will see you soon.
That's right, in 2 weeks or less.
Or less.
You've been listening to Cerro Talk. Visit us at www.cerrotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@cerrotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.